to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 18. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Hippie freak! Remember him?
That was me laying there in that bed. Can I pray for you? Yes. Right after she left, I was up out of the bed. I knew that the Lord had touched me and said, "You're about to learn some stuff, son. Stuff you didn't see before, but as a young man, you're going to see it. You're going to hear the music, you're going to hear the lyrics, and I'm going to show you what the devil's up to. When you do, just remember, I tapped you on the shoulder before you went into that dark corridor." That's my testimony. And about a year and a half or so later, I came back to my mom and said, "I need to repent." She thought I was overdosing. I said, "No, no." And I called the pastor. We went out and sat down with him and right at my gate, got my steps back in order. Not because I did it, but because God pulled me out of there. Listen to me. This man was struggling with sickness over sin. And you might be struggling with the sickness you have over your sin. And that's good. That's good. You're on the right path. That's good. Don't try to shake it off. Just let the water come in your eyes a little and say, "I just need to fix it. I just need to get right with God. I need to repent. I need to come." He went away, and Jesus says this: "How hard is it for a man who's rich," in verse 24, "how hardly shall they enter into heaven who have riches?" Every one of us has more than that man ever dreamed of having. In this room right now, every one of us has more than that man had. You have cars, you have access to all kinds of vacations, you've got credit cards, you can eat whatever you want tonight. That man did not have what we have. We are overwhelmed in this country with blessings, even in a COVID-1984 environment. And we have a hard time feeling like we need avenging, because we can fix that by turning the music up or by inoculating ourselves with any number of things. He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. They that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And that's what you're probably thinking right now too. Who then could be saved? Can I even be saved? And that's good. If you do touch that a little bit, you might want to touch it. Say, "Is that me? Am I okay? Do I, a little check up here?" The Word of God is a mirror. It's good. Visit that. And Jesus said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." And I almost hear him saying, "You just watch, you'll see that man again. Maybe at the cross, but that man may have gone and sold everything." We don't know. It was left hanging there. Why? Because it asks you, what do you think happened to that man? "Well, he was a rascal. He left." Well, didn't you leave sometimes? Didn't you walk away? Didn't you set your jaw? Didn't you say, "I'll not be moved"? And God just waited. Eventually he said, "I know what you want. All right, here it is. And you know what was in your hand was not what he was after. It was your heart." He's always been after your heart. The heart of the matter, it's always the heart. And it's all about your adultery against him, because you love this thing more than you love him. And it messes you up. If you're a child of God, it'll mess you up. You won't be happy. I wasn't happy in those dark tunnels. They got kind of scary. Certain fearful looking for it, fiery indignation and judgment, because I was away, but he was never far away. He's never far away from you. Nothing is impossible. You can overcome that one sin. You can. Just do it. They that heard it said, "Who can be saved?" He says, "With God, all things are possible." Peter said, "We've left all." He chimed in. He says, "Verily I say unto you, no man has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake." Did he say we left our families? He said, "No, we left all." He was thinking of stuff. He just told that man to sell everything. He says, "No, the biggest stuff is your people around you, your loved ones." And sometimes you do have to leave them all, maybe to be martyred. Sometimes you do have to leave them all because they won't follow you. Remember Pilgrim's Progress? The wife was saying, "Would you please snap out of it? You're crazy. You're going to ruin our family." He says, "But I got to get out of here. The city of destruction. Won't you go with me?" She wouldn't follow. 1 Corinthians says, "Abide with your mate if they're lost. But if they won't follow and they won't be pleased to dwell with you, let them depart. A brother or sister is under no circumstance to be bound to them. If they're going to be, I'm telling you, those are things we don't preach because we don't like the implications that God's relationship to us is more important than our relationship to our wives or to our husbands. It is more important than that. God first, then everything else will fall in line. But if you put everything in front of God, that's called adultery spiritually, if you're a child of God. These are things you don't hear preached very often. But I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. We need to do everything we can to keep our marriages together. May I be quick to add, take heed to your spirit. Don't divorce unless it's necessity. You're being beaten and they're lost, whatever. But if you went in with your eyes open and you were saved and you got married, you thought you could change them, you vowed knowing that. So there's some extenuating circumstance. Be careful. It's called a stronghold when things get weird like that. And things are important. He says, we've left everything. He says, no man's left any of these human relationships, which is the most important. We know that he didn't leave his wife because Jesus went into Peter's house and his mother-in-law was sick. And his wife was, you know, we left our fish nets. He says, I'm not worried about your fish nets. He's not worried about your money. He's worried about your heart. And so if there's something between you and him. The man was struggling, I believe, and the rich man probably came back because he just said, all things are possible. And he had a conversation with him. And he was humble enough to have it. He was humble enough to ask it. He was saying it out loud. I'm afraid. I've watched that thing. I've watched it with fear. I've guarded that law. It's bothered me. I've struggled with it. And he went away sorrowful. Where'd he go? He probably went to check it with his accountant. What would be the implications of whatnot? Think about that. What would be the implications? I worship my money and my stuff. What would be, if I just sold out everything, I threw it all out right now. What would be the implications if you destroyed your computer right now? What would be the implications if you got rid of your TV? What would be the implications if you threw the stuff down the toilet that you shouldn't be involved in? How bad would that hurt? It'd hurt me really bad. I'd be dying inside. You'd survive. You'd survive. And you'd have revival. We say we want revival. Do you know what revival brings? It brings awakening. The world starts seeing us. The awakenings were called such not because the people in the lost world got saved. It was called such because the people in the lost world started seeing the Christians. And they were awakened to the fact that there was a church in the room. And it made a difference. That's why it was called an awakening. It happened a couple times in the 1700s and 1800s. Then he took his 12 unto him and says, listen, you guys, if you left it all, you'd have a manifold more in heaven. He says, I've not asked any of that of you at this point. He says, but listen, let me tell you something. He said, I'm going to go down to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise from the dead. They're going to scourge me in verse 33 and put me to death, and I'm going to rise from the dead. Look at verse 34. And they understood none of these things. Interesting word here for understood. The literal word here is tsunami. It literally means to put together. They couldn't put it together. What it means is they couldn't put those things together. You see, a Christian can put together stuff. That's another reason why I believe that young man was saved, because he probably was putting it together and it broke his heart. You know, there's a lot of tears when you come to God. Sometimes it hurts, you know. Whoever will fall on this rock shall be broken, Jesus said. But on whomsoever this rock shall fall will be crushed. You're going to be broken. It's going to be tears. And what happened when they didn't understand it? When they couldn't put it together? These are the disciples. Why couldn't they put it together? Well, because they couldn't put it together, the Bible says they could understand none of these things. They couldn't put anything together. And it says, and this saying was hid from them. So it got darker. You walk away, it'll get darker. Jonah runs from God. He happens to find a ship going just his way. Hey, the stars are aligned for me. We dumb it down now. It's not God's blessing. It's, oh, the stars are good, you know. We start talking in the vernacular world that quickly. He's having a nice sleep in the bow of a ship that's almost ready to capsize. And the captain from a heathen group says, why don't you wake up? We're going to die. Eventually he says, I know what happened. I know it's me. I know it's me. Do you know if it's you? Do you know if it's you? If the whole world could right now turn on a dime because you gave that sin up to God, would you let that happen? Because that's what revival is all about. Because though the world might not turn on a dime, yours will. You'll have your joy back. You'll have your song back. You'll have a ring on your finger. You'll have shoes on your feet. You'll have a robe on your back. You got to run home because God's the Father and He's a good one. They couldn't put it together. Verse 35 says, it came to pass when he went to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. This guy's name elsewhere is Bartimaeus. He had a friend with him before. You say, well, why is this friend not here? Well, it's very likely he may have been healed like the 10 lepers were healed, but he's the only one that really followed Jesus. Everybody might have known Bartimaeus. Everybody knows Bartimaeus. He's with us, man. He's in every meeting. He's with us. So his story is put here, and the Holy Spirit skips that issue. And I say to you that the issue of blindness is so important. Just now, he just said they couldn't put it together, so it was hid from them. So again, the Holy Spirit puts in another metaphorical and a physical together, and we're like, okay, I see. If I go dark, I'm going to go darker. When Jesus was crucified, all the disciples ran. Why? Because they had been incapable of seeing for having heard things they didn't understand. I remember when I first started reading my Bible after I got saved, I read about the Sermon on the Mount, and I thought, man, I am obliterated here. Don't think it. Don't be mad. It's like murder. Don't look a woman lust. You know, I'm like, you mean steal? You know what? Perfect? What? Chapter 5 of Matthew, be perfect? I'm like, wait a minute. Perfect? You must be perfect. All I knew is that I felt like I needed to go outside and have a cigarette. You know, at that point. Serious. But as time went on, I began to understand. But I didn't let it baffle me to the point where I said, I can't hear you. I just wanted to say, okay, I heard you, and it really is messing me up. Guys, serious stuff. We're not going to get out of here alive. Let's get ready. Jesus could come in the rapture, and here we'd be going. Man, it'd be a good thing to have our houses clean, our hearts clean. The Bible says that it came to pass, he came nigh unto Jericho, and this blind man, hearing the multitude, said, what's going on? And he said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. It doesn't say anything about Messiah, it just says Jesus of Nazareth. This man has been in the dark, and he sees more than the men that have been with him. He knows who he is. So he cried, and he said, Son of David. Jesus, Son of David. He knows more than his own disciples. You're the king. I know who you are. He's the king. The heir apparent. He knew. I know who you are. And they rebuked him and said, be hush, hold your peace. But he cried so much the more. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now the beautiful thing about how this chapter ends is that when Jesus hears him, he brought this man near. And he said unto him in verse 41, what do you want me to do for you? He says, that I may receive my sight. Now that's a clumsy translation here. Literally, what he says is, Ina is a Greek word that means in order that. It says, Ina anablepo. And anablepo means look up. He says, what do you want me to do for you? He says, Lord, in order that I may look up. Isn't that beautiful? You know what Jesus says to him? He says, look up. That blows me away. That blows me away. He says, look up. We had a man who couldn't look his eyes up. This man just wanted to be able to look up, God. You may just want to look up today to feel like when you're praying, you're being heard. When you're singing, you're free and fluid. When you're alone, you're behaving because you're powered by the Spirit, not by the flesh. In order that I may look up for it. All things are possible. Look up. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts. And I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.